two views now, two windows on the unstable situation in Libya, east and west. We go now live to Borzu Daragahi from the LA Times, who's in Tripoli. You can go to thetakeaway.org and see the story Borzu has on the economy of Tripoli and how people in that city are coping with what's going on in Libya. Borzu, what is the latest this morning?
According to some of the reports that we've been getting and some witness accounts, there have been renewed airstrikes on the city or in the environment of the city. There was apparently a NATO airstrike late last night and then one this morning that I think I heard, but I'm not quite sure what it was because we're sort of locked up in a hotel normally. The economy here does appear to be buckling. Economic activity has come to a standstill to a large extent. There's a big question about whether this extended standoff will ultimately benefit the government or the rebels. There's arguments to be made in both cases, but it does appear that the rebel side, at least, has already suffered through the worst of the deprivations of the war, whereas the government is just now beginning to feel the heat.
Live from Tripoli, Libya, we're speaking with Borzu Daragahi from the Los Angeles Times. We've heard reports that the rebels are attempting to sell oil. We've also heard reports that a pipeline has been damaged over near Brega, and Muammar Gaddafi pleading with Barack Obama directly to end this war. In Tripoli, how much of a bubble are you in? You referred to it a moment ago. How much of a bubble is Tripoli compared to everywhere else in the country?
I think it's, in terms of security, it's a good question, actually. In terms of security, the massive security clampdown on the capital has managed to stifle a lot of dissent that was here even a month ago. People are still speaking out, but, there's a heavy, heavy security presence everywhere you go. They took us to a university and, instead of seeing students, we just see a huge line of goons looking at them right now, wearing sunglasses and looking at us menacingly as we enter the auditorium to see a pro-government rally by who they describe as students. We don't know who they are. Meanwhile, as far as, we're allowed to see things, I've been here for more than 5 weeks now, and I've kind of figured out little tricks to try to get past the layers of show business they're presenting us with. But it's still a very secluded bubble.
And, talk about the show business. I mean, when you go to a college and there are no students but just goons with sunglasses, do you look at your minders and say, what am I supposed to do with this here?
I mean, it's frustrating to some extent. But, for example, we'll be going to an event or a place, and, we can see the busloads of government supporters racing ahead of us to stage a rally as we get to that event. And then we can see them basically, for example, getting free bags of rice and free boxes of vegetable oil as they're departing ahead of us. So it's not a very slick operation as far as the show business goes. But, yes, it's an attempt to try to control the message, to present an image of a unified Libya behind their leader, Muammar Gaddafi.
Well, let's go a little bit further into that image of the unified government there, Borzu Daragahi of the LA Times, because obviously with the defections of officials from the Libyan government and also with these rumors that Gaddafi's sons were somehow negotiating to replace him or remove him from power, what exactly do we know about the state of the Libyan government and who is left counseling Gaddafi?
Well, I think that the sons still play a big role in terms of counseling Gaddafi. The defection of Musa Kusa, Muammar Gaddafi's longtime friend and his foreign minister, as well as his former intelligence chief, was a huge blow, I think, both personally and politically and security-wise to the regime. As far as reports that Saif al-Islam Gaddafi is trying to get a role for himself in a future Libya without his father in charge, I think that Saif al-Islam has been trying to do this for 10 years now. And he's been overruled not only by his father, but also his two other brothers who are much more hardline than he is. them. It could be the next leader of Libya if certain hardliners have them.
Wow. Borzou Daragahi there in the middle of it, live from Tripoli, reporting from the chaos of a city under siege and at war. We're talking about a government shutdown here in the United States, Borzou Daragahi, but you're describing a literal government shutdown except for security forces there in Tripoli. Muammar Gaddafi says this war is a humanitarian crisis. Forget Gaddafi for a moment. From the standpoint of people in the streets of Tripoli, does Gaddafi have an argument that this war is torturing the civilians of Tripoli?
I'm not exactly sure exactly what you asked, just because you were cutting in and out. But in terms of the impact on civilians here, the government here has been alleging that the civilians have been very, very seriously hurt by this conflict in terms of airstrikes and so on. But so far, as far as the humanitarian condition here in the capital, things are okay. There doesn't seem to be a big crisis in terms of food or basic living supplies or supplies and so on. And the civilian casualties that they're talking about, we have very serious doubts about them.
Right.
We've not been able to confirm more than a few possible incidences of civilian casualties.
Borzou Daragahi, before we go, what is the most surprising thing there in Tripoli that's still open in the midst of all this?
The surprising thing is that despite all the restrictions, despite all the security precautions, despite all of the clampdown and the violence of the regime, people still come up to you. Just now I'm in this university and this girl came up to me, extremely brave. She said, give me your number, give me your number. And I handed her my phone number. I wrote it down on a scrap of paper. She started talking to me saying, this is all a lie. These aren't the students of the university. Don't trust anything you see here. And I was like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Are you afraid? The security guys are right there. And she said, I'm not afraid. Some people are afraid, but I'm not afraid. And I think that is a testament to the human spirit.
Wow. Borzou Daragahi from the L.A. Times. Go to the takeaway.org. You can see his article in the L.A. Times and on the L.A. Times website about the refugees or the opposition being in an economic advantage right now as the war goes on. Live from Tripoli. Borzou, thanks so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.